invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 this morning. You know, way into the future, and maybe even not even way into the future, the people you go to school with, the people you work with, people you go to church with, the people that are in your neighborhood, the kids that your kids play ball with, their parents, your friends, they're all going to tell a story one day. And part of that story is going to be the impact of your influence on their life for Jesus Christ. Or not. But they're going to tell a story one way or the other, whether they say it verbally or in how they live or how they see life. They're going to tell a story because you're in their life. You say, well, Jeff, we're just friends. See, I didn't come up with this. This is what Jesus said. He's telling us that one day the people that you're in proximity to will tell a story about your influence for him on their life or not. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus has gathered a large crowd together, and he simply says in verse 13, he's talking to those who are his followers, and he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Two times Jesus says, you are. And literally in the Greek language, which the New Testament is written in, it means you, and it's emphatically stated, and you alone. You and you alone are the salt of the earth, and you alone are the light of the world. It means that whoever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are and you alone are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And that speaks to your purpose this morning. A lot of people get up every day and go, I just don't know why I'm here. He just answered it. You and you alone are salt and light. That means it doesn't matter your education today, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter who your mom and daddy is, where you grew up, doesn't matter what your details of your story are today, you and you alone, as a Jesus follower, you don't get to choose to opt out, you and you alone are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, you're saying, what in the world is the salt of the earth, right? Because we talk about people, and what do we say? We say about people that we meet sometimes, now he's just the salt of the earth kind of guy, right? What in the world does that mean? Because salt is why a lot of you got to go to the doctor this week. Come on, we got a witness here. Because that's all we know is like, everywhere we go, is like we got to cut back on that. And Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. Their concept of salt and our concept of salt would be two different things. We use it to flavor things, to season things. They would understand it as a preservative. He's simply telling those people in that day, he says, you are here to lessen the decay of the society around you. You are here to preserve things for God's viewpoint where you have been placed. Now, can we just talk for just a minute? When you think about your life as salt and you're a preservative of society, you're doing a terrible job. But we don't like to say that. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Because what do we want to do? We want to blame somebody else. It's the Democrats' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. It's the president's fault. It's the House of Representatives' fault. It's the senator's fault. It's the mayor's fault. It's the school teachers. It's the school board. It's parents' fault. It's the church's fault. You see, when you read that, if you say today that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and most of the people who complain about the way the society goes or whatever you're complaining about today, even your workplace, you ought to look at that and go, I'm responsible for it. We never think that way, do we? It's your fault. You ought to do something. We elected you. We put you in that position. We hired you. But when Jesus looks at this group of people and he says, you are the salt of the earth, one of the things he's trying to get them to do is go, look, you're responsible for this. And we want to complain about everything, and everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And he says, all I want you to do is look in the mirror. He ain't blaming lost people for acting lost, like lost people. They're lost. What he's trying to get that group to do that was listening right then, going, listen, look in the mirror. You're the ones I put here for this purpose. I've placed you here. And I think what he's trying to do is simply go, hey, I want you to, as my followers, to accept responsibility that your words, your attitude, your actions, where I've placed you, wherever you are, whatever you do, wherever you do it, you're responsible for being the preserving agent for my way of doing things with the way you talk, the way you live, your attitude, your actions, how you treat people. And so you have to ask yourself this. This is tough. Does my presence change the environment where I am? You see, it's kind of the old story, you know, we're here to be thermostats. We set the environment. And the problem is we're just thermometers. We've been reflecting the environment. And Jesus steps right into this. It would be so counterculture in that day, kind of like it is today, for him to look at and go, listen, you're supposed to set the environment. Not just reflect it. Not just reflect on what's going on around you. Then he changes. He don't even explain it all. He changes it. It's also you and you alone, nobody else. Not only are you the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. You're the one that gives direction. You're the ones that brings clarity. You're the one that points the way. We kind of understand light a little bit more culturally. Like I always tell you, right, when I get here in the morning, it's really dark, and the building's dark, but it's really cool, and I was reminded this morning because I knew what I was going to say. As I'm walking through the building, we have these sensors in the building, and so as I walk through the building, the lights come on. And I'm going, oh, that's what Jesus is talking about. So when you go to school and you go to work and you walk into that team meeting, you walk into that environment, he says, the lights come on. That's how we treat people. That's how I treat my wife. That's how I treat my kids. That's what I do. That's how I talk to people. That's the attitude you're supposed to have. Those are the actions. The light comes on. When he says you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world, that's what he's talking about. Over and over and over again. So how do we do that? How are you going to go back into that environment that God has placed you and have that kind of impact? Because this is about responsibility. You don't get to, if we're here today and we say, hey, my story is I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I've been born again spiritually. He says you and you alone. You know what that means? First of all, it means this, is that you have a divine purpose. You should never wake up in the morning and go, I just don't know why I'm here. I don't know where you're supposed to work. I don't know where you're supposed to go to school. I don't know who you're supposed to marry. I know what you're supposed to do tomorrow. Salt and light. That's easy. You and you alone. He says you have a divine purpose. Jesus said it over and over again. John chapter 17, verse 18. He's praying to his heavenly Father. He says, Father, as you have sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. Do you think Jesus had a divine purpose on this planet? You just sang about the cross. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. I have a divine purpose. He says, in the same way that my heavenly Father sent me into the world for a purpose, I'm sending you in the world for a purpose. What is it? Salt and light. Don't ever get up in the morning and go, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing. Because when you have that mindset and you realize you're on a divine purpose day, you have a divine agenda, then as we often say, when you have that mindset, then every meeting, every class, every relationship, every conversation, every bump into this person becomes a divine appointment. Is that the way we think? No, that's not the way we think. I mean, life gets busy, man. I'm just trying to survive. And the world has suffered. But it's a lot easier for me to blame the people I vote for. It's a lot easier for me to blame the school system It's a lot easier for me to blame you parents for doing a terrible job of raising your kids. Right? That's what we always say. They said it about me, and we're going to say it about you. All that just keeps us from looking in the mirror and going, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm responsible. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to have a series of divine appointments, and I will make individual decisions to see this to be salt and light or not. It's interesting, he says in verse 15, and he talks about light, and he also talks about salt. If you were going to preserve something with salt, what did you have to do? You had to put it on there, right? Intentionally, it didn't just kind of fall on it. And he says, you are the light of the world. He says, when you light a light, what do? You put it on its stand so it gives light to the whole room. What he's simply saying is that you have been strategically placed. You are not in that school by accident. You're not in that room by accident. You're not on that team by accident. You're not in this church. You're not in that neighborhood. Your kids don't play with those kids by accident. You've been strategically placed there for a purpose in this city. You know, years ago, I've been here 14 years. You know, about 20 years before, 15 years before I came here, I drove through this city and I said, that's one place I'll never come. And a lot of people that know me well go, oh, yeah. And I'm convinced that God said, okay, we'll see. Right? You're strategically placed where you are. I don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. I don't know if you're going to change jobs next week, next year. It doesn't matter. Where you are tomorrow morning, you've been placed by God. What happens next week? We'll address that when it comes. And so he simply says, get up every day with that mindset. You have a divine purpose where you have been placed. But he also says this, I believe. And he has to tell us this. You're thinking, I don't know if I can do that. And the second thing you need to remember, not only do you have a divine purpose, you can do that because God said so and because God can. If I was giving you a little pep talk today and we just kind of threw the Bible to the side and go, hey, man, let me give you some 7 points of positive thinking, like the world likes to do. I don't know if I could talk you into anything. But you can because God said so and God can do whatever he wants to. Everybody that was listening to Jesus thought the same thing we think. Here's a bunch of followers of a carpenter living in Roman rule, and he just told them, I want you to influence this society for my kingdom. What? We're supposed to influence the people who are in control? We have no power. They don't listen to us. Matter of fact, we're just mere mortals compared to them. Yeah, you guys, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. I need you to point the way, and I need you to flavor this society for my way. Really? Yep. So don't ever get up in the morning and go, well, I'd love to be salt, I'd love to be light, but I'm just where I am, doing what I can, who I am. It ain't about you. You can be salt and light where you are because God said so. You and you alone, and because God can do whatever he wants to. You get up every day in the morning with that mindset, I've got a divine purpose, and if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you ought not, your feet should not hit the floor very long before you say to yourself, some way, some shape, some form, I've been created by God. I've been saved by God. I've been empowered with the Holy Spirit of God. I've been called and commissioned by God. How many of you drive your kids to school? Speak that over them tomorrow morning before they get out of the car. You said, they're in the first grade. They'll get it. I told my first grader when I dropped them off, look out for those fools. They live in first grade. You got fools in the first grade. They'll get it eventually, maybe middle school. But speak that over your family. Speak it over the people in your circle. You can because God can. You know, I just a few weeks ago, I was back in Mississippi, and I preached at the first church I ever preached at. It was 39 years ago last month. Back in the same place as a new building, bigger building. And it was just really a kind of a full circle moment, 39 years later. Now, I remember 39 years prior, and I remember sitting there thinking, this is a really bad idea. I was voted most likely never to speak in public, freshman in college. And I remember sitting there, and I remember the lights went out because there was a storm, and the pastor said to me, hey, if the lights don't come back on, we'll have to do this next week. And I remember saying to myself, if the lights don't come back on, you'll never see me again. Because I think this is a really bad idea, and I'm about to prove my point. And I just prayed that day, Lord, don't let me throw up on stage and don't let me pass out. 39 years ago. You know where I've been the last 39 years? All over. And one thing hadn't changed. I still don't know if this is a good idea. And I'm still the same guy that sat right back there with my wife thinking, I don't know if this is a good idea. And God, I don't want to throw up on stage and I don't want to pass out. Let me tell you one other thing hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. And he can do whatever he wants to. And you're on a divine mission. You got a divine purpose. And you can, because God said you can. But understand, if you're going to have the influence that he wants you to have, the platform to influence other people, to be salt and light, is a platform of love and unity. Love and unity. John chapter 13, we forget this sometimes. John chapter 13, Jesus is speaking. He says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. They will know that you are my disciples. They'll be seasoned. They'll be what? Preserved. They'll know who I am, but through you. You are my disciples if you go to church. Get involved in that program. If you love one another. Jesus, before he was crucified, you turn over a few pages to John 17, he's praying to his heavenly Father. It's the true Lord's Prayer. He's not just teaching us how to pray. He's telling you, this is what I'm praying. And Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father. He says, my prayers is not for them alone. Now, he just prayed, I'm sending them into the world as you sent me. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's anyone who's followed Jesus Christ. That all of them may be divided and do their own thing. Make sure they get their opinion out there. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. Now, why would a unit be so important? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. You mean to tell me that one of the things that's going to tell the world that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for their sins and for the sins of everyone in the world is our unity? Well, no wonder the world ain't paid attention. He goes on, verse 21, he says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people who play sports with your kids, the people who are in your cul-de-sac, they don't care that you're here today. They're not taking roll. But they're going to know. When you go out there and you love them as Jesus loves them, and you love your coworkers the way Jesus loves them, and you love the kids on your kids' ball team the way Jesus loves them, and when we who are followers of Jesus Christ can get our act together and be one and not be divided by all this craziness, whether it's race or color or some form of religion or what you think or what I think, when there can be unity, he says the world will know that I'm the Messiah. He doesn't say, hey, you guys need to start another program down there. You need to add another class. We'll do it. That'll be for you. The world won't care. But when you show up at work tomorrow, when you show up at school tomorrow, they're going to be watching. And they see how you treat other people. And how you love them and how you get along with one another and how you get along with people that don't think like the way you think, don't look like you look, don't even believe like you believe. He says people are going to notice. They're going to know what that's about. You see, if you're going to be salt and light, you got to know you're on a divine mission, a purpose. You can because God said you can, but you've got to do it from a platform of love and unity. And the final thing is this, is you can never forget it's not about you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and what? And glorify your Father in heaven. John 13, he says, love one another, and by this they will know that you are my disciples. John 17, he says, be in unity with one another, and through this they will know that God has sent Jesus to the world for them. We're not in it. It's all about him. You're preserving the world with his word and his way and his mindset for his glory. We live in this world. I remember Starbucks years ago had this campaign, marketing campaign, and it was entitled The Way I See It. And on the side of their coffee cups, they had 300 and something different thoughts and principles. They were good. And it says, The Way I See It. Listen, as followers of Jesus Christ, nobody cares how you see it. You can't save anybody. They need to know how Jesus sees it. You didn't die on the cross. And so if your life is connecting the dots back to you, you need to check yourself. If your life is connecting the dots back to you, look how successful I am and how much money I made and look at my position and look how well I'm liked, you need to check yourself because he says, I want you to live in such a way that they look at you and go, I know you. There must be a God. Is this not about you? We call ourselves here is that we are a movement of Jesus followers. Not religion followers, not church followers, not pastor followers, not Christian followers, Jesus followers. And so if the world connects the dots back from our attitude, actions, and words to anything other than Jesus, we got to check ourselves.